Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Noah's edition of the Weekly Sports Podcast. This week, we'll focus on the NBA, and we'll touch on all the NBA playoff series and the upcoming NBA draft, and who to take a closer look on in the draft. Okay, the first series we have to talk about has to be the hometown team, the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors were able to tie the series up 2-2 this week by winning Game 4 in Philadelphia yesterday. Throughout this series, Kawhi Leonard has been absolutely excellent. He's been putting up plus 30-point games almost every game and grabbing tons of rebounds and assists to help the rest of the team. However, Toronto Raptors five-time All-Star Kyle Lowry has had some serious struggles throughout this year's playoffs. Evidently, in Game 1 of the first series, Kyle Lowry put up 0 points on 0-for-7 shooting. However, he did still have 9 assists and 7 rebounds. Being a five-time All-Star, Lowry has to produce way more for the Raptors if they want to make the NBA championship this year. In the playoff series against the Sixers, Kyle Lowry, although has been putting up more points than usual, has not been shooting the ball very well and is not playing very aggressive. You see Kyle Lowry having many open attempts from the three-point line and passing up on them instead of taking the shot. Kyle Lowry needs to become more aggressive the rest of this series to help out Kawhi Leonard, as he cannot beat the Sixers by himself. The second main piece to Toronto Raptors' stellar offense has been Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam, arguably the most improved player in the NBA this year, has been putting up great numbers offensively, averaging more than 20 points this series. However, yesterday in Game 4, Pascal Siakam was doubtful with a calf injury, and you could see when he came into the game, he must have been injured. When he came into the game, he looked slow, he looked sluggish, but most importantly, he started off by shooting 0-for-7. Honestly, Pascal Siakam is one of the Raptors' most efficient players, averaging more than 16 points per game this year. So for him to come out that bad, it was quite lucky that the Raptors were able to stay in the game early. Another person on the Raptors who had major struggles yesterday was Fred VanVleet. Now, last year, Fred VanVleet was excellent for the Raptors. He was competing for Sixth Man of the Year. He ended up losing to Lou Williams, but you could tell that he was putting up great production. This year in the NBA playoffs, Fred VanVleet has been terrible. He's putting no production. He's giving the Raptors no points. He's passing up on open mid-range looks, and he's just looking to pass the ball off those screens. When Fred VanVleet comes off those screens, he needs to attack the basket or get to the mid-range to take a jump shot, because the way he's playing right now is not going to help the Raptors in the playoffs. Last year, the Raptors were notorious for their quote-unquote bench mob led by Fred VanVleet, CJ Miles, DeLon Wright, and Jakob Poeltl. However, with many of those players being traded for better assets this year, the bench contribution by the Raptors has been horrible in the playoffs. Like I said, with Fred VanVleet not producing and DeLon Wright gone, you know, our bench has been quite stagnant and not doing much. Norman Powell has been coming off the bench, getting significant minutes, but his IQ just simply hasn't been enough for him to get points on offense, and his defense has been quite good. Now, Patrick McCaw didn't get much minutes in the first series, but Masai Ujiri said he wanted to spark off the bench in the second round against the Sixers. So McCaw did see the court in Game 4. Unfortunately, Patrick McCaw scored 0 points when he was on the floor in the first quarter and the second quarter, so I don't think Masai Ujiri's spark worked very well. Another thing to touch on in this Raptors-Sixers series is the Sixers side. The Sixers have a very tall point guard in Ben Simmons, and the shooting guard is J.J. Redick. Now, due to the Raptors having Kyle Lowry at point guard, Kyle Lowry is only 6 feet tall. Therefore, Kyle Lowry has to guard J.J. Redick because he's too small to guard a guy like Ben Simmons. But the issue is, when Kyle Lowry's guarding J.J. Redick, they have J.J. Redick coming off a lot of off-ball screens, and J.J. Redick has a lightning-quick jump shot release. So when he comes off those screens, J.J. Redick is shooting threes over Kyle Lowry, and he just can't get a contest. J.J. Redick killed the Raptors yesterday in Game 4, knocking down three-point after three-point after three-pointer. However, one of the main stars on Philly is Joel Embiid, who has been basically shut down this series. Apart from Embiid playing absolutely amazing in Game 3 and going for 30 points on Marc Gasol, Marc Gasol has had Joel Embiid locked down. In the first game, Embiid had under 10 points, and in the second game, he was taking many off-balance shots and was not getting them to fall. In Game 4, a big game for the Raptors, Gasol was able to lock up Embiid and force him to 2-for-7 shooting with only 10 points. Due to Marc Gasol's defense and his paint presence, Embiid seems to be taking a lot of fadeaways and off-balance floaters. Those are not shots he can hit. And as long as Gasol keeps forcing him to take off-balance shots or take three-pointers, the Raptors will be able to take this series. Now, it's 2-2, so Game 5 is coming up in a few days, and the question is it a must-win game for either team? And in my opinion, it is a must-win game for either team. Now that the Raptors have taken back home court advantage after defeating the Sixers yesterday, it's basically a best-out-of-three series, the first to win two games. So if the Raptors don't take Game 5 in home court, they're going to have to go back to Philly in an elimination game, win that game, come home in Game 7, and beat them again. In my opinion, whoever takes Game 5 is going to be the winner of this series, and it's a huge game on both sides of the basketball. The Raptors are going to need their bench to show more contribution in Game 5, and especially out of guys like Fred VanVleet, who need to come out and start scoring buckets. Kyle Lowry, however, is also going to have to start soaring and make sure Kawhi Leonard can have some help in the starting unit. Danny Green had his shooting struggles in Game 2 against Philly, shot a little better in Game 3, shot a little better in Game 4, so hopefully he can put some contribution on offense, and as long as Gasol stays aggressive, I think he's been doing just fine this series. Alright, on to the next topic of the day. We're going to talk about the NBA Draft Lottery. So, although the draft lottery is still about a month away, it's creeping around the corner in June. And the question is, who will get the first overall pick? When you're looking in the standings, the bottom teams obviously are the Knicks in the Eastern Conference, who are 17-65, and then the Suns in the Western Conference, who are 19-63. So those are the two teams that are front runners for the first overall pick. But with the draft lottery, it could also fall to other teams like Cleveland or Chicago, or even the Mavericks could get the first overall pick. I mean, it's pretty evident this year based off college basketball that the first overall pick is going to be Zion Williamson. He's so athletic coming out of Duke. He can do everything you want in an NBA player. He can shoot, he can dunk, he can ball handle, he can defend. He's a huge guy. He's 6'7". He weighs over 240 pounds. You know, Sports Science did a story on him, and they said getting hit by Zion Williamson at max speed taking a charge is the equivalent of getting hit by a Jeep or something crazy like that. So I think we all know everyone's gunning for Zion. But that's not the real question mark with this NBA draft. The question mark is, what do you do with the second overall pick? With the second overall pick, there's two options you could take. There's Ja Morant out of Murray State, who really came out of nowhere. He was not a very high-recruited high school athlete, and then in college absolutely blew up, getting triple-doubles, posterizing people, hitting deep three-pointers, ankle-breaking defenders, basically showing just pure excellence out of the college level. But then there's a guy like R.J. Barrett. Now, R.J. Barrett, coming into college, was the number one recruit out of high school and who most people expected to be the first overall pick. Now, Barrett had the opposite. He had some serious struggles in the NCAA this year playing for Duke. It was clear that he wasn't that efficient of a player. He shot, 7-for-17 a lot. He wasn't really that consistent from the perimeter. His defense was solid, but he wasn't really guarding the team's best player. So I think it's a toss-up. I mean, R.J. Barrett is obviously a very different position. Ja Morant, 6'4 point guard out of Murray State, a lot smaller than a guy like R.J. Barrett, who's a 6'7 shooting guard. But I think R.J. Barrett might be the better choice, even though he had serious struggles in college. Because although Barrett did miss the free throw for Duke to advance in March Madness, he did show signs of greatness throughout the season. And there were games where he played like the number one recruit he was coming out of high school. I think it will all be up to the team who gets the second overall pick. I think if Phoenix gets the second overall pick, it would make more sense for them to go with a guy like Ja Morant. Phoenix having point guard struggles, Jamal Crawford, he's getting quite old. I don't think he can fill that position for them much longer, as opposed to a team like Chicago. Chicago's got LaVine, they've got Chris Dunn. It'd probably make more sense for them to go with a bigger guy like R.J. Barrett. Maybe slide him to small forward if they need to. Maybe keep him at shooting guard, slide somebody else down. I think it's really up to team preference. But we'll definitely see when the NBA draft lottery comes around. Of course, Toronto won't have a pick in the first round this year because we did trade our pick to San Antonio to acquire Kawhi Leonard in the Danny Green, DeMar DeRozan trade last year. All right, on our next playoff series in the NBA, We got the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. So, coming into this series, I think most people assumed the Bucks were going to win. With the talent and the athletic prowess of Giannis, there wasn't much question to whether they'd be able to guard him or to whether they'd be able to contain him. But coming out the gate, the Celtics were able to steal game one in Milwaukee and go up 1-0 in the series. When the Celtics came out game one, it was clear that Kyrie Irving was here to play. He came out, put up absolutely great numbers, shot well from the field, led his team to victory against them. But then in game two and in game three, the Bucks responded well. They came back, they took game two. Let me check Giannis' statistics. Giannis went absolutely crazy. Marcus Smart was coming off the bench. He was playing great. I mean, look, you look at a guy like Giannis. Giannis had 29 points in game two with 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And in game three, he put up 32 points on 8 for 13 shooting with 13 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So realistically, following that trend throughout the series, I think if Giannis stays the way he's playing, I mean, it's over. It's going to go 5 games because the Celtics took game one. But if Kyrie Irving does not step up in game four and really lead his team to victory, but he's going to need some serious help by Jaylen Brown to kind of contain Giannis, then maybe I could see them winning one more. But I can't see this series going more than 6 games, to be honest. On another playoff series we have the Nuggets versus the Blazers. So the Nuggets versus the Blazers has been arguably the most entertaining series in the NBA playoffs this year. I mean, come on, their game three went into 4 overtimes. The game ended at 2:16 p.m. Eastern. I mean, the game they went into 4 overtimes, though, although the Nuggets fell to the Blazers, I think it was the Nuggets game to win. I mean, Jokic had 2 free throws to tie the game up, but he had played 65 minutes. That's ridiculous. The average NBA game is 48 minutes, and he played 65 minutes. So, I mean, I think it makes sense that he missed the free throw. One of the best coaching decisions of the whole series, though, was by the Blazers coach to sub on Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood was explosive off the bench, dropping 3-point after 3-point. He was driving to the hole, pump faking. Dudes were sliding by him, jumping over him. It was truly great what he was doing. Also for the Blazers, you know, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard have been known to not show up in the playoffs. Well, that's not true. Damian Lillard does show up in the playoffs. But CJ McCollum has been known for not showing up in the playoffs. And this season, he's proving all the haters wrong. Played great in the first series against the Thunder. And he's playing really well in these first 4 games of this series. I'm very interested to see where this series goes in the following games. The last series we're going to talk about is the Houston Rockets versus the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, this could have been the most anticipated series because it's the Golden State Warriors, the best team in the league, and what most people think the best team in the West is in the Houston Rockets. Although there was serious controversy with this series about the fouls on James Harden. Obviously, James Harden is known for his patented step back, but off the step back, he shoots in, he jumps towards the defender. So when the defender contests, they always seem to collide. And the big question is that a foul? Some people would argue that that is a foul because he's landing in the shooter's space, therefore the foul should be on the defender. But other people are saying Harden is kicking his leg out when he shoots the ball, basically initiating the contact with the defender and then flopping evidently for the foul. So I really think it depends how you look at it. I mean, I was watching game one of the series, and it is clear that Harden's getting fouled a lot of the shots he takes by Klay Thompson. But in the replay, you can see Harden extends that left leg just a few inches too far to initiate the contact. So I think it's up to the referees to make the call. I mean, it's something the NBA is going to have to figure out in the offseason, whether what is considered the shooter's landing spot, because that's how they decide the foul, basically. If you land in the shooter's landing spot as the defender, then it's a foul. If you don't land in this landing spot and you land in your own spot, then it's not a foul. But yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty good series with the Rockets and the Warriors. The Rockets were able to squeeze out game three in overtime. I don't know if many of you guys saw it, but Steph Curry missed a wide-open dunk, you know, to basically give them a chance to win the game. They would have still been down 3 points if Curry had made the dunk, but realistically, with him missing that dunk, the game was over. It was sealed. The Rockets took it, and they ran with it. Kevin Durant, though, absolutely amazing in the playoffs, as usual. 43 points yesterday against the Rockets. I mean, there's not much you can say about this guy. He's 7 feet tall. He can dribble. He can shoot. He can pass. Probably the best player in the league right now. He's a force to be reckoned with. Not a guy you want to match up with. And so for game four, I mean, it's 2-1 Warriors. The Rockets have to win game four. If the Rockets lose game four, the Warriors go up 3-1, the series is over. I'm sure they'll take it in 5 or 6 games. That's not much to worry about. However, if the Rockets can find a way to steal game four, well, not steal because it's their home court. If they can find a way to take game four, then they'll be just fine in this series and could maybe take out the Warriors in 7 games, depending on, you know, how Harden plays and whether Chris Paul can really stay up to the level that he once was at. So, yeah. Anyways, guys, thank you so much. That was all for this episode of Noah's Sports NBA Podcast. I'll be coming to you guys next week with a follow-up on the NBA playoffs, and, you know, next round, seeing how the series developed. Like I said, you know, will the Raptors get game 5, or will the Celtics basically be eliminated when the Bucks take them out? So we're going to see, though. Until next time, have a good day, guys. Peace out.